Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's a Wednesday edition of the Rick Unger Show. Welcome to each and every one of you. We are going to begin today, well, it's just my favorite hour that I ever do. Y'all know that because it's my favorite guest, my brother from another mother, my old partner, the one and only Michael Steele, former chairman of the R. I got to do all your credits. Hold on.
Oh, sorry.
It takes most of the segment to do all your credits. Former chairman of the RNC. Former Maryland Lieutenant Governor, current MSNBC analyst, the former co-host of Sirius XM Steele and Unger, and most importantly, the host of the fabulously successful The Michael Steele Podcast. All right, Steele, now you can say something.
God, dude. Okay, I'm sorry we ran out of time for the show.
Yeah, well, that happens, you know, when I have these important guests like you. What's going on, Steele?
You spoil me. It's good to be back with you, my friend. Hope life is treating you well.
Life is basically good, yes. I won't go into my problems. Who cares, you know? All right, let's get down to work here.
Folks, let me tell you, that's a cue to just sit down, get on the couch, and get a warm drink.
It's going to be a long and ugly couple of hours, yeah. All right, here, I want to lay a scenario out there for you. I know that you are hearing what I'm hearing. In the past, I don't know, week or so, it seems like attention has turned to the reality that Donald Trump may very well be reelected president again. It's like all of a sudden the light bulb went on. I don't know if it's the timing. I don't know if it's the parties he's having again. I don't know what it is. But all of a sudden everybody's going, yeah, you know what? If the election were held today and it was Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, I got a funny feeling Donald Trump would be back in the White House. One, do you agree with that possibility? And two, if it happens, what happens then?
Well, one, I do agree with that possibility. It's been a real possibility since last November. In fact, he has... made that a part of his narrative for some time now, the possibility of a run. You can, you know, it's a mixed view in the main, you know, some people believing he will absolutely do it, others believing, well, it's just kind of a setup to placehold the election, if you will. But the realities are developing in such a way around the Biden presidency, the push by progressives for an agenda that I would argue the American people did not sign up for. The Democrats do not have a mandate for the things that they are saying that they want to do. And I think that's made a lot of people nervous. And the president is now sitting at 38%. It's not that Donald Trump is looking any better than Joe Biden, or that there's this hankering to return to what we just went through. But I think people want something solved. They want the problem solved. Oh, hey, you got an infrastructure bill. You got 19 Republicans agreeing with you. Why can't you just pass the damn bill? Oh, no, you now want to attach it to something else that you know is not going to pass, and create this kind of consternation in the political system. But even more importantly, a concern to the point of disinterest by a lot of Democratic and independent voters. And it's not so much that they would actually go out and reelect Trump, meaning they would go vote for him. It's just that they just wouldn't vote. Mm-hmm. They just wouldn't show up at the polls.
So
all the Trumpers would be the ones showing up, and you know how that math works against you in that case. And to your second point, I think that a lot of what where Trump is coming from is making it very clear that he's going to be a factor and a player that you're going to have to contend with. And I don't think the Democrats have an answer for that.
Let me pick up on something you said. I thought it was interesting. You point out that the American people did not necessarily sign up for this legislative agenda that we spend so much time talking about. I kind of get your point, because all you have to do is look at how close the election was. And it's pretty hard to say that this president got a mandate from the American people. At the same time, you look at some of the polling on some of the key issues included in the legislative agenda, and there really is some massive support for it. Things like increasing Medicare and a couple other things, certainly the child tax credit. So, on the one hand, I take your point when you say, well, there really was not necessarily the mandate you would need. There certainly isn't the congressional mandate you would expect to pass this bold of a legislative agenda. But yet the people do seem to like the key items.
So I think that you make an important point, and we need to unpack it so people understand why we're both right. So
you're such a politician.
What was that?
You're such a politician.
I know. We're both right. That's why Stillen Unger worked, because at the end of the day, we found a way to make it right, to make it work.
Well, that's only because I was usually right, and I kind of let you tag on.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you remember?
I had to keep saying that over and over again.
Go on.
It was like a marriage, people. It was like a marriage. Yes, I'm the guy saying, yeah, honey, you're right. But here's the deal. So the mandate narrative is formed around the people deciding that a set of policies that you put forward are the drivers in an election, and it's such a driver that you not only get elected, but you have a cohort of officials elected with you to make that mandate policy, to make it real. The Democrats didn't have that. Number one, there was no national narrative for a lot of the stuff that's in the human infrastructure bill, as it is affectionately known. There are one-off conversations about childcare here or this program there, but it was not connected in such a way that if we don't get this passed, we'll pass nothing else, right? And so a lot of people are looking at that and going, all right, well, we know how hard and long it was to get the Republicans to get on to the actual infrastructure bill, number one. Number two, you didn't win seats in the House. You lost seats in the House in 2020. So there, you didn't have the cohort elected with you to give you the reinforcements to pass whatever agenda it is you think you have. So the voters at the same time, because trust me, the thing that motivated a lot of voters in the end that became a problem for Democrats was not child care. It was defunding the police.
True. And so that's true.
That is.
Even though nobody ever really wanted to defund the police, that's what it was.
That's what it was. So why you're right. So people look at what the president's proposed, and in the main, they like those ideas. But here's the rub. There's no vote for them. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were putting it to national referendum, sure, the American people would go out and vote and probably would vote for those things. But that's not how the process works. So there's no vote in the House or the Senate for any of that stuff. What you do have, though, the bird you have in your hand right now while you're still beating the crap out of the bush trying to get more is the one around an infrastructure bill that is passed in the Senate, passed in the House, that could pass in the House, and you get that done. And then, as I've been saying to my Democratic friends, then you go around the country and say, look what we've begun. Look what this leadership has done. People start to feel good because they see construction projects started. People are going back to work. The economy is getting a nice big jolt in the arm. And folks feel better about where things are. Biden goes from 38 to 45 to 52. And it's a very different narrative for Republicans going into next year.
So, Michael,
but as long as you keep playing the Republican game, you're going to be losing it.
Let me interrupt you here because I got to take a break. But I got to say, as much as it pains me to say it, that was an extraordinarily good explanation of what the problem is. It really was. We're going to continue this conversation about the legislative agenda when we continue with our friend Michael Steele here on The Rick Unger Show. Stay with us. Lots more to talk about.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
If you are just joining us, we are having one of our chats with our good friend Michael Steele, former chairman of the RNC, former Maryland Lieutenant Governor, current MSNBC analyst and host of the Michael Steele podcast. Michael, when we left off, you really had, I think, given an excellent, one of the better explanations I've heard as to why the Democrats find themselves in the current problem that we're in. And I think it came down to your point that while there may be support throughout the country for some of these elements in that human infrastructure bill, guess what? The votes ain't there. And that's just real life. And I think that really does a good job in explaining it. So that leads me to ask you the next question on that subject, which is what's going to happen? I think you and I would probably agree, so we'll get it out of the way, that the bipartisan physical infrastructure bill is going to pass. I mean, the House can do all the shenanigans they want. It's going to pass. But what is going to happen with that human infrastructure bill that, by the way, I don't know about you, every day I talk about it, I call it something different because the Democrats have never, ever put a name on it that people can relate to.
Well, you put your finger on the core problem the Democrats have had for quite some time. And that is the inability to communicate what they believe and why they believe it, and in such a way that it makes people believe in it. And that's one of the strengths that the Republicans have in their branding. They can brand the hell out of pretty much anything, and they can make you feel an emotion about it that will motivate you to do something about it. But all of that comes from defining the issue in their favor, and with the level of clarity that even in the face of facts, truth, and other realities, they stand firm and insist that the thing is what they say
yeah,
it is.
It's true.
Democrats don't do that. They just don't. They don't have that level of flight. They feel a way about something, but they have no way of helping the American people feel that same way too. It has surprised me that during the bulk of the Trump years, Democrats never protested. They never pushed the idea of the value of democracy. It took former Republicans like the Lincoln Project to again create the narrative, define the subject matter, and brand it over and over and over again in such a way that the American people got it and agreed with it. And so no less a struggle and challenge lies here. How do you move people to understand the value of what it is you're doing? You've got to communicate it. Everybody has their own definition and view of what this other thing is. And everybody's clear on the infrastructure part, on the actual buildings and bridges. But the rest of it, people aren't connected to it. So they think it's too much money to spend. They don't know why we're spending it. We don't know what programs are going to be in it or out of it. We don't know exactly what the impact is going to be on the economy, et cetera, et cetera. And as long as people have those questions and those concerns, yeah, when you tell them in the main, generically, do you want childcare for moms and dads so that they can go back to work? Yeah, I do. Do you want it right now? Probably not. You know, and the probably not is not because they suddenly don't want it. It's because they don't know why we need it right now. You know, it remains just an ideal, something to aspire to. Democrats have got to make it practical and real. And that's why I think they take the load, the bird again, the bird they have on infrastructure, parlay that into a broader narrative about the human side of this equation and why that's important. Set up 2022 to push back against what the Republicans are doing. Expand your majorities because you've delivered something that the American people want, so they then trust your leadership. You're governing the way they want you to govern. And then in the second half of the first term, you can talk about and put in front of them all these other things and see where it goes.
So there you have Democrats getting messaging advice, and I have to say pretty good messaging advice from the former chairman of the Republican National Committee. We live in a very strange time.
We are
talking with Michael Steele, former chair of the RNC. Michael, you said some words there that I want to pick up on. We've only got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but sure. You said the value of democracy. Should that be the primary message coming out of the mouth of the president of the United States today? People are legitimately
yes.
frightened that our democracy is at risk. We find it hard to believe because it's just never been an issue in all these hundreds of years. Should that be what this president is talking about?
If you had the stomach to watch Donald Trump in Iowa this past weekend, you understand why the answer to your question is an absolute yes. At the end of the day, and again, going back to the messaging, the Democrats need to worry less about whether or not, this policy or that policy gets passed, and focus on the fact that if Republicans take back the House, if Donald Trump is green-lighted to actually maybe once not really being convinced to run, to actually realizing, hey, I can run and win this thing, his presidency, to the first part of our discussion, is going to be about revenge.
Yep.
It's not going to be about democracy.
Yep.
It's going to be about revenge. It's going to be coming after those who he perceived came after him. And we'll spend 4 years in which the institutions of government will get twisted back into knots, and we'll find ourselves far worse off. A growing supported base of Trump, much more violent and much more, solicitous of that violence. As a means to enforce Trump's will, their will. So, yeah, democracy is the centerpiece here.
Right.
It's not, you know, the Green New Deal or some other progressive policy. It is why Donald Trump lost and why Joe Biden was hired.
All right, I gotta take a break here. I think what you just said, Michael, is incredibly important. We'll pick up on that a little bit in the next segment. We have much more with Michael Steele when we continue with the Rick Unger Show right after this.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Unger Show on this Wednesday edition. If you are just joining us, we have been spending our hour with our friend Michael Steele, MSNBC political analyst and the host of the Michael Steele podcast. Michael, at the end of the last segment, we had to cut away for a break, but you, I thought, again, you're making good points today. That always scares me when that happens. but you were talking about how important it is that this president ought to be focusing more on the situation with our democracy. I have been saying this for a very long time now. Look, I very much support what's in both the human infrastructure bill, what's in the bipartisan physical infrastructure bill. I think they are good things for Americans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I cannot help but notice, as we've had the media all tied up in discussing these pieces of legislation, nobody is talking about the voting rights bills that have been sitting in the Congress. If there is anything that ties to preserving our democracy, it is the voting bills, and yet we seem to have forgotten all about them.
And the leadership doesn't want to defend democracy by taking the necessary measures to pass those pieces of legislation. And I'm referring to the filibuster. Look, I could give a rat's patootie whether you have the filibuster or not. It's an arcane, made-up process inside the United States Senate. There's no constitutional or regulatory requirement for it. It's all rules based. It's how the Senate decides to operate. And they could very easily go, you know, well, okay, we don't need to do this anymore. Because I assure you, if the shoe were on the other foot, Mitch McConnell would absolutely blow through the filibuster in a heartbeat to get the agenda done. If it meant enforcing, you know, passing another massive tax cut for very wealthy individuals, or if it meant repealing some measure of policy by the Biden administration or the Obama administration that he thought was not good for the country, but certainly if it had anything to do with the court system, that filibuster would be kicked to the curb in a heartbeat. The fact that the Democrats don't get that they're fighting over something that is not natural to the process that was set out by the founders, and defending it as if, you know, the lights of democracy are only on because of it, to me is just mind-numbingly stupid, and it has allowed Republicans to box the ears of Democrats every day on the fundamental things that need to get done. Republicans put the voting rights bill in the drawer after George Bush left office. Mitch McConnell, when he was the majority leader, put it in the drawer. It is stunning to me that Chuck Schumer allows it to stay there. And as long as the Democrats know, Republicans know that the Democrats are putzes that can be easily used and pushed around. Remember, America, Republicans are in the minority in the House and the Senate.
That's right.
You would not know that.
That's right.
Certainly in the Senate, looking at the way the Senate is being run. All right, would not know. If you landed from Mars and wanted to speak to the leader of the United States Senate, you would not go to Chuck Schumer. You would go to Mitch McConnell
because
that's what you would think based on what you see.
All right, so let me raise the great irony that I see, and maybe you can come up with an explanation. You know, you see these Republican elected officials in both the House and the Senate who are terrified of Donald Trump. Man, they will say anything to stay on his right side. We saw that 150-year-old senator the other day kissing up to him in Iowa.
That would be one Chuck Grassley.
Yeah, I just didn't want to bother with the name. He's been dead for 30 years and nobody told him. All right, so he's up there doing that, and I'm watching this and I'm going, dude, yeah, this will probably get you reelected, but do you not understand that you're also helping to get Donald Trump reelected? And when that happens, your position as a senator is going to be less important and less useful than if you were scraping gum off the sidewalk at your local park. You are going to have no authority because an authoritarian really couldn't care less what the United States Senate has to say. How do people like Grassley not get that?
Oh, they get it. But this is about political expediency. The less noise I have to contend with, the fewer people jumping up in my face, screaming and hollering at me because I'm not, you know, holding on to Donald Trump's big toe, the better. These people are risk averse. They are leadership averse. They are fundamentally vapid. Our leadership today, there are no giants in the Senate or the House now. I would say operationally, you know, as a political operative, you know, no one can touch Nancy Pelosi and no one can touch Mitch McConnell. But beyond that, there are no giants. There are no LBJs and you know, Ronald Reagans in the halls of those institutions. And that speaks to the kind of people we're sending to Washington and to our state capitals.
Yep.
Who are not necessarily interested in what we're interested in doing, but have their allegiance tied to, you know, donors and special interests that provide them cover. And in the case of Republicans, a feckless fat man who, quite honestly, is the worst thing that's ever happened to the country.
Well, as long as we are speaking about fiascos, and by the way, if you are just joining, I should get you up to speed. We are talking to our friend Michael Steele, former chair of the RNC, currently an MSNBC analyst. Michael, as long as we're speaking about fiascos, I got to get your take in the time we have left on the debt ceiling fiasco.
On the what was that last part?
The debt ceiling craziness.
Well, again, it's just another good example of it. Okay, so can we just stop the charade and just realize that the debt ceiling, again, is a fiction? It is made up. You don't need it.
No.
Why do we have it? Because what do we do every time we reach it? You move it.
We move it.
You raise it. Yeah, but we go through all this political drama. We act like, right. Oh my God, the world is going to fall around our heels. We're spending all way too money. So let's be clear again, so your audience understands, because the one thing Unger and Steele are about is facts and truth. And let's be very clear about the facts and the truth here. The debt ceiling that we're talking about raising, that needs to be raised, has nothing, zero, nada, to do with any budget priorities spending by the Biden administration.
What?
All the infrastructure costs, the
nothing to
$2 trillion on the first and the $3 or $5 trillion, whatever it is on this, none of that is involved in this. This is all about paying for the $8 trillion that Republicans and Trump spent over the last 4 years. Because guess what? They put it on a friggin' credit card, and now the bill is due. That's what this is all about. And it's nothing more than that. And Mitch McConnell and others can stand there in the well of the Senate and act all, you know, high and mighty and offended and, oh, my God, what is happening? But as we like to say in the neighborhood, baby, you created this. And you got to pay for it.
To be fair, and we like to be fair, well, so much of it is, as you just stated, debt that was run up by the Republicans and President Trump. Some of it is the result of Joe Biden, particularly in coming up with the money we needed to bail people out of the COVID-19 crisis. So it's all of that.
Yeah, but yeah.
But it is, but mostly Republicans.
It's $8 trillion. I mean, how much was that?
Yeah.
That it was three?
Yeah.
All right. Republicans spent $8 trillion.
Yeah. So, that is correct.
But, But the fact of the matter is the debt ceiling needs to be raised. Okay, one, the debt ceiling should be eliminated so we don't have to do this political phony drama. Because people, trust me, we are wrecking people's 401ks in their retirement and their savings for nothing, for the political drama over nothing. And it's unfortunate. If you announce tomorrow that the debt ceiling has been eliminated, the markets would probably go, thank you, and move on.
There's no right? question. I mean, all it does is cause them unnecessary agita. And because there's always that little doubt. We live at a time when every politician is so insanely nuts that you go, well, maybe now's the time. When they are going to crash through the debt ceiling and we are going to have all these troubles, I don't know. It's remarkable, but I think it is really a great microcosm of what is going on in this country today. Michael, we got to leave it there. We always run out of time. We could do this for hours. We've done this for hours. Yeah. We're going to have to take a break here. Michael Steele, former chair of the RNC, currently the host of the Michael Steele podcast. You can catch him every 10 minutes or so on MSNBC. Steele, as always, great to have you, brother.
All right, my friend. Good to be with you. Be safe out there.
You too.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. LostGolfBalls.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.